We rise. Grace to you and peace from Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests to God. To Him be glory and dominion now and forever. We pray. Lord, speak, for your servants are listening. Amen. We continue our studies in the book of Revelation, chapter 7. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to fountains of water, to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of God. Again we pray, O Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, shepherd us to living waters. Amen. In the name of the Lamb who was slain and has begun His reign, dear fellow partners in the Great Tribulation, imagine yourself coming down that home stretch of the Boston Marathon. Imagine yourself exhausted, dehydrated. Your knees feel like rubber. You can hardly keep your balance for lack of oxygen. And just beyond lies the finish line, the place of rest. As you give that final push down the home stretch, a bomb explodes and knocks you down. Maybe you saw the footage of the tribulation that took place at the Boston Marathon this last week. What a gruesome picture. Truly, this world is a marathon of tribulation. A person can't even go to a sporting event and feel safe. In a sense, we're all coming down that home stretch. We see the finish line. We're tired. We're lacking oxygen. And just when that rest seems within reach, something strikes us and knocks us down. Who will protect us? Who will shepherd us to rest? We read verse 17, "The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters." The Lamb will shepherd you to rest. He has shed His blood to make you white. He leads you, standing in your midst every day, through the explosions, beyond the tribulation, to eternal rest. If you watched much footage this last week, you know that blood makes us anything but white. There's a reason why blood makes us squeamish. Blood is a sign of pain. It signifies death. It shows us our mortality. It reminds us of the curse that binds this whole creation together. Indeed, our clothes are stained with the reality of sin. It is a temptation for us to think we will overcome the tribulation by our stick-to-itiveness. We like to think we've been knocked down, we'll get up, we'll push on. Do we expect to reach that heavenly goal by our guts and determination? If so, this means there can be no stumbles. This means that as we finish this course, we must deny our own ways, resist any shortcuts, avoid all detours. This means children can never ignore their parents. It means parents can never neglect their children. This means when certain urges offer a more pleasure-filled path, we have to deny them. We have to stick the course. We have to press on when we're depressed. We have to deal with those problems that need to be dealt with. We need to talk to that person that needs talking to. As we think about these things in our own life, the fact remains, Satan has set the traps, he's offered the detour, and we've taken the bait. Isaiah writes, "All we like sheep have gone astray, each of us turning to our own way." No matter how we strive to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, our record remains tainted, stained, a stain we can never remove. And it will continue that way until we die. This forced Isaiah to admit, we all are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like what? Filthy rags. We bleed because we're not perfected, because our bodies are dying, and we can't find the rest we so desperately need by just pushing on. Rather, we turn to the Word of God. We turn to our escape from the great tribulation to the Lamb. He said to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." When we see blood flowing from the side of the Lamb, the one who was slain for us, blood signifies something quite different. This is the blood of the spotless Passover Lamb, who never took any detours, who offered a perfectly acceptable sacrifice, who carried on his own shoulders the weight of our guilt and our sins for every time we've strayed. In our scripture reading, Paul reminds us of the precious value of this blood when he says, "Be on your guard for yourselves and for the flock, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." The flock was purchased, redeemed, at the price of God's own blood. His Son coming to take our place. For every stumbling, for every failing. In the midst of our sins, in the midst of our failings, this is our source of rest. Now, today, it's rest from our stick-to-itiveness, our guts and determination in which we stumble again. It's rest from the race that ends in hell. It's rest in your baptism. You have been washed. You have been made white. By faith in his blood, your robe is washed forever. You are white eternally by being clothed with the robes of Christ. You are forgiven of all your sins. And Jesus is not dead. He lives. This means the blood that he shed is not dead. It did not signify an eternal death in hell. For us, it lives. It gives you new life, a new resurrection, and gathers you into this flock where God cares for you every day, personally. And the Lamb is even now shepherding you to this rest. The term millennialism comes from Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, we read of how Christ will reign with the saints for 1,000 years, a millennium. Millennialists believe that the book of Revelation indicates a time to come where Christ will literally reign on earth for 1,000 years. They chart out the book of Revelation, seeing chapter 3 a transition to something in the distant future of the church. And then when they get to chapter 7, they see a great tribulation. And they interpret it in terms of 7 years where on earth there will be a tribulation. When they read of this coming out of the tribulation, they speak of the rapture of the saints. You might hear this from time to time. People outside of our circles talk about the rapture. Well, they picture this reference in chapter 7 to a rapture of the believers. Well, they will be immediately ushered out of earth, out of the tribulation, to be in heaven with God. First of all, there's nothing in the text to demand that we understand these all in a chronological sense. Second of all, what purpose does it serve John to write to the 7 churches in Asia of things that will never affect them, that will never touch them, that remain way off in the future? Rather, John begins his letter by saying, "I am your partner in the tribulation." Jesus spoke of this tribulation and the end times, and he always did it in a right now sense. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Paul and Barnabas were always encouraging the believers, the disciples, to continue in the faith. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. The tribulation that takes place in the life of believers is right now. It is the tribulation we all go through. We read in verse 9, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." You notice no one could number this multitude. All nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. 4 categories. And as we've seen in other sermons, that number 4 signifies the fullness of what's on earth. It is the fullness of God's people, which are on earth. From the 4 winds, God has sought out all who are joined to his heavenly flock who will go to heaven. This is not a small portion of the church that is suddenly raptured out. It's the course of all of God's people from the beginning of time, day by day, being ushered from this world to the rest to come. That's why in verse 14, John uses a present tense verb, saying, "These are the ones who are coming out." Picturing it as happening ongoing, day by day. Something we can never see, but we know is happening as believers everywhere, from every tribe, every time, every Christian congregation who confesses the gospel are being saved and taken to heaven, those who believe. That's why Jesus in John chapter 10 said to the Pharisees, "You do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." He knows you by name. He knows what's in your heart, what struggles you face, what tribulation you endure in this world. But notice the Lamb is not laying down. He's always alive. He's always standing. This is what it means for him to be in our midst. Because of his resurrection, his blood is now alive, perpetually, continuing to forgive us our sins again and again, proving that God has redeemed us and will raise us up also. It is his presence in the preaching of the forgiveness of sins. Every time two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is alive, resurrected. In a little while, we'll be coming to the Lord's Supper, where his resurrected body is alive yet again. The blood which is shed, the body which is given, is not dead. It's alive, and it's among us. This is how he shepherds us and joins us to the heavenly song of all the saints. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In our scripture reading, Paul was literally dead set for Jerusalem. He was going there knowing exactly what was going to happen. He said he knows that chains and tribulation await him. Why would he go? Why would he walk right into suffering when he knew it was coming? He continues, but none of these things move me. I do not count my life dear to myself that I may finish my race with joy. He went forth knowing that his life in this world was not really what mattered most. What mattered was the testimony of God's grace. As Jesus said, they follow me. What is our destination as we follow him? Where does the Lamb lead us? Indeed, he is going before us through tribulation, through death, to the resurrection and his eternal glory. It is now our testimony of God's grace to endure suffering, to have things go wrong, to knock us down, and to continue to get up, not by our strength, but by the grace which God has poured out in his word and in our Savior. Many of those injured by the tragedy in Boston had their legs injured or even lost. Their lives would never be the same. What can we say to such a person? We say, Christ is risen. We join with Luther, laugh to scorn the gloomy grave, and at death no longer tremble. He, the Lord, who came to save, will at last his own assemble. They will go their Lord to meet, treading death beneath their feet. Those who believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus do truly tread death beneath their feet. The resurrection fixes that broken leg, heals that sore back, gives us back a new heart, restores those lost limbs, rids the body of cancer forever. With resurrected feet, we stomp on death. And so we hear the voice of our good shepherd. In every tribulation, in every pain, we hear him saying, they shall neither hunger nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Let us fall down and join with the company of heaven to say, it is certain. Amen.